And Tom raised his hands for him to be quiet. He says, all right, he says, there's only one thing wrong. You understand that Jackie and I are turning off, he says, within a few days. He says, you realize we're not going all the way to California like most of you are going. And if you would like for me to be a wagon master, until then I will be glad to. Otherwise, I would suggest that you have Mr. Miller be your wagon master. He'll make a very good one. Of course, many of them applauded and so forth. And finally, a group of the men came forward and says, Tom, as a committee, we want you to be wagon master. And he says, until you turn off. And he says, then we're going to ask Mr. Miller to take over. He says, all right. He says, if that's the way you want it. Mr. Miller and Tom shook hands on it. And Jackie did too. And as they were walking back to their wagons with Mr. Miller and Mrs. Miller and Nancy and all of them, Tom says, well, it won't be much of a job for me. He said, just a few more days and we'll turn off to the ranch. Mrs. Miller looked at Tom. She says, Tom, I know that you want to go to your ranch and everything, but we're going to miss you. We're really going to miss you, Tom. He says, well, I'm going to miss you too. Nancy looked up. I'll miss you too, Tom and Jackie. Jackie kind of kicked a few stones and, well, I'll kind of miss you too, Nancy. Nancy kind of blushed a little bit and fluttered her eyelashes. Says, would you really? Are you going to really miss me, Jackie? He says, sure. He says, sure. He says, it'll be kind of lonesome without being in the wagon train and everything. She says, I felt so much better when you were around, Jackie, because you're such a brave boy. Jackie stood up a little taller and threw out his chest. He says, well, says, I reckon we men can take care of the wagon train, can we, Tom? Tom looked at him. He says, well, I reckon we can, yes. They went back to their respective wagons, and the next morning they finished up packing and repairing what was necessary to do, and Jackie was now in charge of the wagon. And that was quite a deal for him, even though he was going to be, at least he thought, an assistant to Tom. But somebody had to drive their wagon, so most of the time he was going to spend driving the wagon. But the days were exciting for the people now. The next few days they would always camp somewhere by a stream and they would sing songs or square dance and they would have a good time because they knew that the Indian attacks were over and they were well on their way to California. As the days passed, Tom was kind of looking forward to the time where they would turn off to Skeleton Gulch, where Jackie's ranch was. And he didn't say much to Jackie, but Jackie was thinking the same thing. He could hardly wait, but he didn't want to say anything because he might make the wagon train people feel sad if he were too anxious to get away from them. And what he didn't notice that for the last day or so, he didn't see Mrs. Miller outside of the wagon. It was Nancy and Mr. Miller and so forth. And one evening when they stopped, Tom and Jackie were having their supper and Jackie says, Tom, are you glad that we're going to leave the wagon train? Oh, he says, yes, in a way. He says, I am too. I didn't want to say anything. He said, but I can hardly wait to get to my ranch. He says, but something's worrying me, Tom. I said, well, what's that? He said, I haven't seen Mrs. Miller. Oh, he said, why should that worry you? He says, it doesn't, except that I just wonder what's wrong. Well, let's go find out. They walked over to the Miller wagon. Nancy and Mrs. Miller were also having their supper, and Mrs. Miller wasn't around. He says, Jackie's kind of worried about Mrs. Miller. Nancy stood up and she says, my mommy's kind of sick. I said, that's right, Tom. He says, I don't know what's wrong. She's been running a fever. He says, well, why didn't you say something? He says, well, we're doing everything possible. A couple of the ladies have been coming in, taking care of her. He says, how much of a fever is she running? He says, it's pretty bad. Tom says, you mind if I have a look? He says, come on. Tom went inside and he felt Mrs. Miller's brow, and she was having quite a fever. When he came out, he says, she needs a doctor. I know, Tom, but where do you find a doctor out here? He said, well, there isn't any. Nancy began to cry. Her dad said, now, Nancy, that isn't going to help. That isn't going to help a bit. Tom thought a while. He says, come here. He took him over to the side. He says, sometime tomorrow, late afternoon, we're going to be turning off. He said, yes, I know. He says, if I send a rider, he said, it's about 10 miles off the turn, to Skelton Gulch to see if they have a doctor there, would you be willing to turn off with us? He says, your wife can't travel like the shape she's in. Well, if they have a doctor, Tom, and you think that's the thing to do, well, it's what I would do. He said, but the wagon train will be gone. They can't wait for us. You know that, Tom. I know that, but there's always another one. He said, you could stay in Skelton Gulch. He said, come out to the ranch. Well, let's see how she is tomorrow. News got around fast, and they heard that Mrs. Miller was quite sick, and most of the people were quite concerned, including Jackie and Tom and the immediate family. The next afternoon when they camped, Tom checked with Mr. Miller, and her fever hadn't broke. Mr. Miller looked at Tom. Tom, we'll have to go with you, I'm afraid. He says, we can't go on. He says, we've got to have a doctor. He says, all right. He says, we'll appoint somebody to take care of the wagon train. Tom called a few of the men together and told them what the trouble was, and they understood, and they elected a new wagon master. He said, about 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon, we'll be turning off for Skelton Gulch. Jackie felt very badly about it, but he felt excited about going into Skelton Gulch and out to his ranch. One of the riders came back. Tom, he says, the turnoff is just a mile up the trail here. He said, there's an old sign, weather beaten and points, 10 miles, Skelton Gulch. He says, well, that's where we'll be leaving. He says, why don't you pull your wagon up forward and miss the Millers too, and as we go by, at least we can wave to you. Tom smiled. He said, that's a good idea. Jackie, he says, go on ahead. Pass the wagon up. Stop at the road where we turn off. And I'll have the Miller wagon do the same thing. So the two wagons passed everybody else up. And when they got to the crossroads, they stopped. And as the wagons began to move by them, Jackie and Tom and Mr. Miller and Nancy, even though they were very sad about the whole thing, waved to them as they went by, and finally the last wagon passed them. And Jackie felt like a part of him was missing, because that was his home, the wagon train, the people he knew. And he said, well, Tom, I guess we're on our own. And he snipped a few times and kind of shaded his eyes, and Tom looked at him. He said, that sun sure gets in one's eyes, doesn't it? Jackie brushed away his so-called tears, and he says, yeah, I kind of burned your eyes a little bit. He said, you know, you can't look at the sun too long. He says, well, we've got work to do. He looked over at Mr. Miller. He says, all right, we'll make it as fast as we can. Tom pulled his wagon up in front, and they headed for Skelton Gulch, little realizing what was in store for him at Jackie's ranch. Little did they know what was in store for them at Skelton Gulch. They had waved goodbye to the wagon train, and in a way, Jackie felt real sad, but in a way, he was glad that he was back to his ranch, or to his ranch. So as they headed for Skelton Gulch, Tom would ride back on his horse and ask Mr. Miller how things were going. He says, we'll make it. He said, don't worry about it, Tom. We're going to make it all right if there's a doctor. And the rider had returned before they turned off and reported that there was a doctor there and that he would be waiting for them when they got there. As they approached the top of the knoll, Jackie was driving the wagon. He says, "Tom, look, there it is, there it is." He says, "That's Skeleton Gulch." Tom looked and smiled. He says, "Yeah, I reckon it is." It was a small place, as near as they could make out. There was a church up on the hill, and as they got closer and closer, there was the blacksmith shop, and the saloon, and the hotel, and the store, and so forth. And finally, they pulled down the main street full of chuck holes and dirt. Tom stopped and yelled at one of the women passing by that was carrying a market basket, "Could you tell me where the doctor's office is?" "Oh, yes, Dr. Swanson, right across over there. You'll see his office." Tom got off his horse and put the reins around the whiffle tree and walked over and knocked. "Come in." The doctor was just picking up his bag. He said, "I'm from the wagon train. My name's Tom Dawson." He said, "Yes, one of your men was in here. Are you here now?" He says, "Yes." He says, "We have a woman in the back of the covered wagon across the street. She's got an awful fever." He picked up his hat and coat, walked across the street, and went in the back of the wagon, and Mr. Miller and Tom and Nancy and all of them waited and waited and waited. And finally, what seemed like hours, he came out. Mr. Miller rushed up. He said, "Well, doctor, what do you think?" He says, "Well, I think you're lucky. That's what I think. I think her fever's broken." There was a big sigh of relief. "You mean she's going to be all right?" "Oh, not that quickly. It's going to take several weeks before she'll be back on her feet." He says, "Well, I'm glad to hear that." He says, "You're not joining the wagon train." "No, we're going to stay here until she's better." He said, "I would highly recommend that. There's a hotel here you could stay." Tom says, "I'll go down and get rooms." So he went down the hotel, and when the doctor began to leave, he said, "Here's a prescription. You can get it over at the store, get it filled, and take as directed." He said, "I'll try to see her tomorrow again." He says, "I think everything's going to be all right." So he left, and they got rooms at the hotel, and Jackie and Tom, both of them, were rather eager to get out to the ranch. And finally, when Tom saw Mr. Miller alone, he said, "We're going to go out to the ranch." He said, "You stay here. We'll probably be back in the morning." He said, "Jackie's rather anxious to find out what its ranch looks like, and to be honest with you, I am too." Mm-hmm. He says, "All right, Tom, go ahead." So they started to get into the wagon. They tied their horses behind the wagon, and finally Tom took the reins and was ready to say, "Giddy up." And before he could say that, he said, "Whoa. What's wrong, Tom?" He said, "Where are we going?" He said, "Out to my ranch, the Bar X Ranch." He said, "That's what it said." He said, "Where is it?" "Well, it's, well, I don't know." He says, "Well, I think we better find out. Come on." They get down off the wagon and went into the general store. The man behind the counter looked up. "Oh, you're from the wagon train." He says, "Yes, we are." He says, "I understand you have a sick woman on the wagon train." He says, "Yes, she's at the hotel now. She's going to be all right, though." He says, "That's too bad." He says, "We get some stragglers every so often from the wagon trains going by." "What I'd like to know," asked Tom, "is where is the Bar X Ranch?" The man almost dropped a package of sugar he had. He says, "The what?" He says, "The Bar X Ranch." He turned a little red in the face. He said, "Whoa, what do you want with it?" He says, "Never mind what we want with it. Where is it?" He said, "You're strangers, aren't you?" He said, "I reckon we're strangers." "Well, then let me give you some advice. If I were you, I'd forget all about the Bar X Ranch." Jackie looked at him. "Well, what for?" "It's because I'm telling you as a bit of advice to some strangers and friendly advice. Stay away from the Bar X." Tom says, "All right, would you just tell us where it is then?" He says, "Well, it's about 5 miles out of town." He says, "You go 3 north, 2 east. He said, "Thank you." They started to leave. The man, he says, what did you say your name was?" He said, "I didn't say, but my name's Tom Dawson. This is Jackie Anderson." He says, "Well, I just thought I better know what your names are, because if you're heading out for the Bar X, I may not see you again. And if somebody should ask what happened to you, at least I can tell them where you disappeared to." Jackie became a little funny. He says, Tom, what did he mean? I said, I don't know. I said, but I guess we'll find out. They walked out and crawled into the wagon seat, and Tom took the reins and turned the wagon around the middle of the street and headed for the Bar X. Jackie didn't say anything, and finally about halfway there, Tom, do you think that maybe we should wait? He says, for what? I said, well, he said, that man, that storekeeper gives me the creeps. He said, if we disappear, what's going to happen to us? He says, nothing. Well, if you say so, Tom. They came to the corner and turned east. Said, it should be right over that hill. And finally, as they were going down the road, they saw a turnoff. Tom took the turnoff, and within a few yards, he came to a barbed wire gate. And they could see above where it says Bar X Ranch. It was an old weather-beaten sign. And there was barbed wire keeping everybody out. It says, no trespassing. Trespassers will be shot. Stay away. Tom looked at it. He says, well, I guess they mean for people to stay out. He said, Tom, let's go back into town and find out what they meant. No, he says, I think we better find out now. Tom started to get down off the rig, and he heard a very gruff voice. All right, cowboy, hold it right there. On the other side of the fence, he saw a man with a shotgun. He says, take your left foot, put it back in the wagon, and turn that rig around and beat it. He says, I'd like to see Jeff Davis. He says, what for? He said, he doesn't want to see you. He said, I don't even know who you are. He says, what do you want? I said, well, I just got through telling you I'd like to see Jeff Davis. He says, well, nobody's going to see Jeff Davis. Now, he says, you heard what I said. He crawled through the barbed wire, came over closer to Tom. He says, now, I'm going to give you one more chance. Get on that rig and get this rig out of here fast. Tom, come on, get up here. He says, all right. He says, don't get too excited with that gun. He said, I don't get excited. He said, but I use it when I want to. The man kept going closer and closer, and finally, as Tom was climbing up on the hub of the wheel, as he swung his foot over, he gave it a wide-range kick and kicked the gun out of the man's hand and jumped on top of him and pinned him to the ground. He said, Jackie, get a rope. Sure, Tom, sure. And he jumped down and grabbed some rope, and they flipped him over and tied his hands and feet. He says, now, maybe we can talk. He says, you're going to get yourself killed, stranger. He says, well, we'll see about that. He says, and he started yelling and screaming. He says, Jackie, give me your handkerchief. They stuffed it in his mouth and tied another handkerchief. He says, now. He said, give me a hand and we'll drag him over here to the bushes. So they pulled him over to the bushes, and Tom got a wire cutter and started cutting the fence down, strand by strand. And finally, when he had the gate open, he says, all right, Jackie, after you. And he pointed to the rig, and Jackie says, well, thank you, sir. And he climbed up on the seat, and he says, now you, sir. Tom says, thank you. And they started to go down the drive towards the house. And as they went along, Jackie realized it was quite a place, a great big ranch house, a corral, bunk house. And all of a sudden, he saw several cowhands coming out of the bunk house. Hey, you, what are you doing here? And then a great big strapping fellow came forward. He says, how did you get in here? Tom says, well, the gate, we just sort of helped ourselves. He said, the gate wasn't open. You opened it. He said, I reckon we did. He says, now let me tell you something, stranger. Get that rig turned around and get out of here. Jackie says, but we were, never mind you, kid. Get the rig turned around. He started to reach for his gun. Tom looked at him. He says, I don't think I would do that. He says, you're not so sure what I'm going to do. He says, I happen to be Jeff Davis, and I'm the foreman of this ranch. Now get that rig out of here before I tear it apart for you. Jackie looked at him. He said, but sir, listen, kid, you keep out of this. I'm not talking to any kids. Tom said, well, maybe you better, Jeff. He says, you, What's your name? He says, Tom Dawson. He said, all right, Mr. Tom Dawson. He says, I'm going to count to 10. And he said, if that rig isn't on here, he says, my men are going to tear it apart, including you and the boy. But Jeff, I told you to keep quiet, kid. I don't talk to you. Tom looked at him and said, well, Jeff, maybe you should just listen. He said, I'm not listening to anybody. One, two. Sir, he said, I. Jeff looked over towards the corral. He says, hey, Gus. He says, bring the men over here. And pretty soon there must have been 15, 20 men coming forward. They were tough-looking hombres. He says, I think we're going to have a little fun. Jeff, he says, I want to listen, kid. He says, I don't listen to young kids telling me what to do. Tom looked at him. He said, Jeff Davis, why don't you let the kid talk? He said, go ahead, Jackie. Say what you're going to say. Well, my name's Jackie Anderson. He said, now look, kid, I told... What? I said, my name is Jackie Anderson. The men came up. All right, boss, what do you want us to do? He says, we can break this wagon up into kindling in no time. He says, get back to the corral. I said, but boss, you heard me, get back. I didn't quite hear that. Jackie bent forward. He said, I said, my name is Jackie Anderson. Jeff smiled. Well, why didn't you say so? Tom says, Jackie Anderson, the owner of the ranch. He says, sure, sure. He said, well, why? Oh, get down, get down. He says, why? He says, well, I'm sorry about all of this. Tom looked at him. He says, and you better have a good explanation. Tom told Jeff Davis, he said, you better have a good explanation. He said, I was sorry. I said, why didn't you tell me you were the owner? I tried to tell you, but you told me to be quiet. He said, well, I didn't know you were the owner. Well, how could I tell you if you didn't let me talk? He said, well, I apologize. He said, come on into the house. He says, Red, he said, get a hold of this rig. He said, take care of the horses, feed them. He says, extra well, extra well. He says, sure, boss, sure. He says, come on into the house. He says, I'll show you the place. Jackie looked at this big two-story ranch house. It was old, but it was kept up. It was nice. Had a big back porch. They walked onto the porch, and Jeff, of course, opened the door. He says, come on in. There's a big dining room, then a parlor, and the stairs going upstairs. He says, sit down, sit down. They sat at the table, and while they were sitting down, they heard strange noises out of the kitchen. There was banging, and Jackie said, what's going on? Jeff kind of laughed. He said, oh, he said, that's Chinky, our Chinese cook. He says, Chinky! Chinky came out running, taking very short steps. Yes, yes? He says, I want you to meet Tom Dawson and Jackie Anderson, the new owner of the ranch. Ah, me very, very happy, very happy. Jackie says, well, I'm happy too. Tom says, and I guess I'm happy too. Ah, we all very, very happy. He says, me go, chop, 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 chop. And he left, taking very short steps, and pretty soon there was banging and pounding in the kitchen. Jackie said, what's he chopping up in there? Jeff said, he's not chopping anything. That means in Chinese, when you say chop, chop, that means get busy. He's going to do something. I imagine he's going to fix you some cool drink of some kind, knowing Chinky. Oh. He says, you mean when he says chop, chop, he's not going to chop the place up? No. He said, it means that he's going to get busy. Jackie kind of smiled. He says, I like that. Chop, 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 Tom. Tom looked at him. He said, you chop, chop yourself. Jackie says, I said it first. He says, I said it second. Jeff kind of looked at him. He says, well, he says, now, he says, I suppose you got my letter. That's why you're here. And I might tell you since then we lost some more cattle. Tom said, yes, that's what I wondered about. He said, have you notified the sheriff about this? Oh, indeed we have. He said, we've had posses out. He said, Tom, He said, I want to tell you something you're not going to believe. Oh, he says, if it's logical, I'll believe it. He says, no, you won't. We have lost over 75 head. He says, the neighbors have lost some, not as much as we have. They seem to be picking on the Bar X. He says, we traced the tracks, he says, to a certain place out behind the dam. And he says, all of a sudden they disappear as if they had wings and flew over the mountaintops. Jackie began to snicker. What's so funny, Jackie? He says, cows with wings flying over the hills. He says, I thought you'd think that was funny. He says, we've been out there a dozen times, Tom. We followed them. We saw the tracks, and all of a sudden they disappeared. There's something strange that I can't explain. He says, your cattle are being rustled. Tom said, if the cattle are being rustled, he said, there is a logical explanation. He said, well, I hope you find out. He says, we've had the sheriff out, we had posses out, we've had people out at night watching the cattle, and he says, yet they disappear. Tom says, well, there's an answer to it somewhere. Well, he said, well, there must be. He said, and the only one, even though it sounds silly, is the one that Jackie said, that the cows sprout wings overnight and fly over the hills. And he said, I don't believe that myself. No, Tom shook his head, I don't believe that either. He says, well, what I wanted to ask you, Tom and Jackie, he said, I'm still making you an offer for the ranch. Tom looked at him. Well, Jeff, if the cattle are being stolen and that the ranch is losing money, he says, why would you want the ranch? Well, I would just get more men out, and I would watch the cattle. That's what I would do. And of course, he says, I couldn't do it because I wasn't my ranch. And I see. Well, I don't think Jackie is ready to sell, at least not yet. Are you, Jackie? No, no, sir. He says, we're not ready to sell. The door opened. Red Branson stepped in. He said, boss, I put the rig up. He says, come in, sit down. He says, Red, I don't know whether you met Tom Dawson and Jackie Anderson. Jackie owns the ranch. He said, well, I met him outside. He said, sit down. Chinky came coming with a tray of cool drinks. Me, hurry, chop, 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 chop. And he set down the drinks and left. The drink was very delicious. Chinky seemed very pleased that there was a new owner. Of course, he didn't say why, but you could tell the way he smiled and the way his face lit up when he brought the refreshments. Tom looked at Jeff and said, we have some friends with us off the wagon train. Says the wife is very sick. And I was thinking, Jackie. Jackie said, I'll tell you what you're thinking, Tom, exactly what I was thinking. He said, well, tell me, Jackie. I was thinking, Tom, to find out what kind of a place this was, how many bedrooms there were, and if there was enough for everybody, we'd invite the Millers to stay here until Mrs. Miller is well enough to go on. You're a mind reader, Jackie. You are a mind reader. Jeff and Red looked at each other. Says, well, we have one bedroom downstairs, and he said, there's three upstairs. Said, Red has one upstairs. I take the downstairs one. Jackie said, could we see him? He said, sure, come on up. They showed him the upstairs room. One had a double, that is, a bunk beds in it, one on top of the other. Jackie looked out at the window. He said, I like this one. This is going to be mine. Jackie looked at the bunk beds. You're going to need two of them? Oh, no, we'll take one of them down. He says, side by side. Then when I have company, like who? Well, I don't know. I'll have friends. Finally, Tom, when they got to the door, he said, Jackie and I are going to, of course, spend the night here. You're welcome to stay, but if the Millers accept our invitation, Jeff, I'm afraid that you and Red will have to move out into the bunkhouse. Well, yes, if that's what you want. He says, sure. He says, we'll do that, won't we, Red? Huh? He said, we'll move out in the bunkhouse. Oh, yes, yeah, sure. He said, that's all right, sure. He says, well, if there's anything that we can do for you. That evening, after they looked around the ranch a little bit, and Jackie liked it, on the side of the house, there was sort of a pond, and trees, and a little bench, sort of a little garden. That he liked real well. He sat down on the bench for a long time. He said, Tom, He said, we could have some fish. He said, there are some in there. We could get more. And he said, some frogs and all kinds of stuff in the pond, couldn't we? He says, yeah. He says, somebody took very good care of this place. Chinky fixed supper, and the four of them sat down. And it was a delicious supper, the first good meal that they've had in a long time. And Chinky would always come out all smiling.